off the ball.
Rook.
Another reminder that 6-2 is great when it works. And it's awful when it doesn't work if you get two injuries in the back line. And even if you get one injury in the back line early on, it is very restrictive.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we hear from Ireland coach Andy Farrell as a Super Saturday of Six Nations action awaits next weekend. France's Oscar Jégu is cited for an alleged eye gouge, and Alan Quillen is wary of the Scots before they come to Dublin. Ireland trained today and reported no new injury concerns this morning as Andy Farrell's squad prepares to take on Scotland on a Super Saturday of Six Nations action next weekend. After Ireland's win over Wales on Friday and the Scottish victory over France on Saturday, all three sides are in championship contention. France and Scotland sit joint top of the table on 16 points, with Ireland third and 14 points ahead of the final round of games. The Triple Crown will also be decided on Saturday, with the Scots and the Irish both recording wins over Wales and England so far. Scotland's last Triple Crown success came in 1990, whilst Ireland have won 8 since the Scots last won. Head coach Andy Farrell says it makes for an exciting weekend.
We should never take a Triple Crown for granted at all. If you look at some of the greats that's played for our team, they come few and far between within a career. So to be in a position to try and to perform to get that over line makes it a special week for us.
Jamison Gibson-Park made his 50th appearance in green on Friday. The 34-year-old was instrumental in the win over the Welsh, and he was replaced by Nathan Doak for his first cap for the senior national team. Gibson-Park said it was an emotional night for him and his family.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be a massive fan of all the goings-ons, but look, it's part and parcel, I suppose, of hitting a milestone, and I understand it's important to acknowledge. So, but to your question, I think I'm hugely grateful, man, to chalk up 50 caps. You know, I was nearly 29 when I debuted for Ireland, so had you asked me then how it was all going to unfold, you know, I really had no idea. So I'm pretty grateful to get to this point, for sure.
Did you have an idea of where your international career could go?
Not at all. I was just, I suppose, happy
to be there.
Exactly. That was kind of, I suppose, it's not a great mindset looking back, but I didn't really, like I said, didn't think I was in the picture for a while, and then got a chance. And I suppose at that time we were probably struggling as a team as well, trying to, you know, gain a bit of momentum and get things going. And I suppose things clicked a little bit November of 21, and that was kind of where it really took off. But when I first got in, I was just, I suppose pretty stoked just to be in the mix and be in the environment. And be around, you know, the caliber of player and the caliber of coach, and, you know, yeah, like I say, just, I was probably just happy to be there.
Scotland's defeat of France on Saturday kept Ireland in the hunt. Gregor Townsend's side put 50 points in Fabien Galtier's charges, and on the Sunday pay-per-view, Adrian Barry was joined by Fiona Hayes and Declan Lynch, and Hayes says that if Scotland managed to put in a similar performance, they'd be very hard bet next week.
Can we cope with the version of Scotland if it comes to Dublin next, with that version of Scotland, if it comes to Dublin next weekend?
No, if that comes to Dublin next weekend, I think where we're at right now, I'm not sure anyone could stop them if they play like that. But you have to remember there was that Murrayfield effect as well. Scotland just playing there are unbelievable. The crowd, everything about it, it's a cauldron to go to. I've been there a couple of times and it's unbelievable. But certainly on the back of watching their scrum, I was a little bit worried.
Were you?
I was, because it's so tight, and their front row players carry to do all that, but their jobs they do at prop time, at front row scrum time, is just so good to watch. And certainly there's areas of the game I'd be a little bit worried, but then you go back and you look at that Italy game and you look at the Scotland that showed up for that. And I suppose looking at Finn Russell, if he's not firing, the team sometimes don't fire as well.
Yeah, well, unfortunately at the minute, it seems to be a rare weekend where he's not. What is it technically about the scrum that's impressive?
They're just so, there's very simple things you'd look at from the outside. They're so cohesive. So when you're looking at them, they're set up, everything is, you know, the connections, everything is on point. When they hit, everybody's hitting. And like, it's there's an old saying in rugby, all eight have to take part in the scrum. Like everyone says it, it's like a cliche. But with Scotland, you can see the flankers are scrummaging, the eight, they're just really, really good.
They blitzed them a couple of times in the first half.
Like, would you ever think you'd see a French scrum blitzed like that? And it was the sheer, and it's not, if you look at pack weights, it's not like Scotland have a lot of kgs on them. If you look at the weekend, I think it was something like 74 kgs. Wales had more than Ireland. I was shocked when I saw the stat. But looking at that French pack, I mean, they were blitzed at scrum time. It was mad to see. And certainly, I think it's that cohesion. Once the belief comes in, then, and you get the referee in your side, you can do a few little bits extra in there as well to give you a bit more dominance.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Rugby podcast feed and your OTB Daily podcast feed. On Monday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, Alan Quinlan joined Ger Gilroy and Michael McCarthy to look back at all the weekend's action. And the Munster man was hugely impressed by an incredible Scottish performance.
Needed to bring out to that game, you know, and a desperation. So, but undoubtedly their backline and aside from any sort of inconsistencies, their backline has been top notch for the last couple of seasons. And if they get quality ball, and they've an ability to hurt teams. So I thought they were outstanding and consistently good. You know, after that bit of a storm and the French two tries, they go down the field. Kyle Steyn scores a try off a line-out, brilliant bit of ingenuity, switch back inside, and it's level. And then Scotland just kicked on, and they were superb. So it was great news from a championship point of view.
Yep.
But I was actually thinking, Jesus, if
Scotland come and do this to Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to ask me now who's going to win between Ireland and Scotland, I'd say, well, on the basis, with the question at the end, on the basis of what we saw at the weekend, you'd say Scotland. I must say, Scotland were a joy to watch for any sort of neutral, in a sense of, there was so many times in commentary I was thinking, kick it, you're in your own half, kick it, you're a score or two ahead.
And they didn't.
They passed and they attacked. Yeah. And they went to the width and they tried to run past French players, and you have to admire that.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Alison Miller, Dennis Hickey and Hugh Farrelly joined John Duggan on the Saturday panel to review all the action from the Aviva Stadium on Friday. Robert Balakoon once again started on the wing, whilst his Ulster teammate Jacob Stockdale was on the opposite side. And Miller has been impressed by Balakoon's physicality in contact.
Tell you who I've been impressed with. I was going to pick a winger, but Balakoon. And I think a lot of people talk about his speed, but for me, it's his leg drive post-contact. It's unbelievable. If you watch the first try, he goes to Balakoon, and he interests 2, 3, 4 defenders every time with his leg drive. He's getting off his wing, which is obviously the two wingers have done that. But also, I suppose, Stockdale's performance as well. The line for his try was beautiful, you know, just against the grain. And as well for Osborne's try, he's off his wing distributing the knuckles. It might be in a forward pass, but look, the try was a try. But to see the wingers roam with that freedom and get involved, and I think, you know, Stockdale, I don't think has the maybe takeoff pace he used to have, but I think he can evolve and be a different type of winger. So for to see Stockdale score again on the 5th minute, to see it go from width to width, so Balakoon stretched them back out to the other wing, and to come back and see these wingers, because I think it's something, you look at the man beside me, he had huge pace, and it's so important, just the difference between pace and not pace. So, you know, Balakoon stretches them, the defence are chasing, they're under pressure, and that's huge. Someone a little bit slower, that doesn't happen. It sounds so simple, but it's something that I don't know why in this country we have speed in this country. You look at our women's relays, we look at our athletes. I don't know if there is the way we play in our schools rugby that's very systematic. So maybe the guy that gets picked over the fast guy, or is it that speed is such an advantage, but it can be an inhibitor too because your core skills don't develop? So to see that pace on the pitch from Balakoon, to see him, you know, get off his wing and try things, you know, he's flick around the back to
Frawley, was it?
To Frawley, yeah, pretty late on. So to see that. He's still able in the modern game. Look, he's playing against Wales, but to run an arc on a guy, like, there's not many guys that can do that. And I remember talking to Conor Murray about him before, and he's like, he can just run around people. So to see him and to see Stockdale perform at the level that they did last night, look, it's Wales, but you can play who you are in front of them. So he excites me, Balakoon, because I think he'll get better with more confidence. But he's to get the ball in a little bit of space for him and to get that leg drive in the metres after contact, to put three or four guys in the ground, it's absolutely huge. It's so simple, but it's huge. So it's something definitely that we've been lacking. And I think Stockdale can. I don't think he's going to score the tries he did in his earlier career, but I think he can evolve into a different type of winger that gets off his wing, you know, be a line runner, distribute a little bit more, you know, against the grain line. He's such a physical ball carrier. So for me to see the two guys play like that and to go roaming, to have that freedom, is great, because I think it's something that we need.
And that is available in your OTB Rugby podcast feed for you to listen back to.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, my goodness.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. France forward Oscar Jégu has been cited for an alleged eye gouge on Scotland hooker Ewan Ashman during the Scots victory at Murrayfield on Saturday. During a Scotland maul in the second half, Jégu's right hand could be seen to cling onto Ashman's face. However, referee Angus Gardner did not spot the infringement, and it was not brought to his attention by TMO Brett Conan. Jégu will now attend an independent disciplinary hearing after he was cited for an act of foul play, which should be held tomorrow, Tuesday the 10th of March. Meanwhile, Ireland will open and conclude the 2027 Six Nations Championship with night kickoffs at home to England and France respectively. Andy Farrell's side, who head into the final round of this year's Six Nations against Scotland bidding for a triple crown and still in the hunt for the championship, will play three of their five fixtures at night, including both home games in Dublin. Ireland will get the 2027 edition underway when they host England on Friday night the 5th of February. 8 days later, Ireland travel to Rome to take on Italy on Saturday the 13th of February for a 2:10 kickoff. In round three, Cardiff will be the venue for when Wales host Ireland on Saturday the 20th of February for a 2:10 kickoff before the teams enjoy a week break. Ireland will have their second Friday night fixture when they play Scotland at Murrayfield on the 3rd of March. And the Round 5 Super Saturday on the 13th of March will begin with Italy hosting Wales from 2:10, followed by the clash of England at Scotland at Twickenham at 20:05. The final game of the championship could have championship ramifications when France are the visitors to the Aviva Stadium for a 8:10 kickoff. Meanwhile, the Rugby Football Union has backed Steve Borthwick to continue as England head coach into the summer and arrest their drastic decline. But the chief executive, Bill Sweeney, stopped short of pledging his support through to the World Cup next year. Borthwick is under intense scrutiny after England's first defeat by Italy on Saturday extended their losing run to 3 matches following miserable losses against Scotland and Ireland. Austin Healey is among the former players calling for Borthwick to be sacked, with England on course for their worst Six Nations campaign. And Ben Youngs, the side's captain. Austin Healey is among the former players calling for Borthwick to be sacked, with England on course for their worst Six Nations campaign. And Ben Youngs, the most capped men's player, believes that this side is set up just to not lose. England finish their Six Nations campaign against France in Paris on Saturday before they begin their Nations Championship fixtures in July with a daunting trip to South Africa. And finally, Ulster Rugby have confirmed that versatile forward Dave McCann has signed a new 2-year contract extension with his home province. The 25-year-old back rower has established himself as a vital member of the senior men's team over recent seasons, following his progression through the Ulster Rugby Academy. The former Ireland under-20s captain has been an ever-present force in Richie Murphy's side this season, featuring in every URC match and EPCR Challenge Cup match thus far. That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. We'll be back at more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing. To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.